T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Hey,
hey, hey, hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Mr. Sal Capaccio is standing by on our Western Hotline to talk football with us on this lovely, a little chilly, but lovely Wednesday morning. Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. We need to stock up. It's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Jeremy off this morning. He'll be a little bit under the weather. So Zach and I are hanging out with y'all, and so is Sal. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How you doing?
Technically, I'm sitting by, but I'm doing well.
You're
How are you?
Sitting by this morning. That's fine. I don't need you to stand for this segment. It's
you don't? Okay, just want to make sure. I do stand sometimes. Sometimes I do stand while I'm doing the show just to stretch my legs a little bit.
That's
okay. Do you do that?
No, but I probably should. I walk around in breaks. I can't.
Oh, there you go. That's
all
right. That's good.
You know what? It's funny. I can't. For years, you know what I would love, Sal? No, so we have microphones here in the studio that are anchored to these supports in the table. I would love like a headset so I could stand, maybe walk around a little bit, like not have to sit in the chair because the microphone's anchored in. Yes, talk to engineering, see if they can get us some headsets so we could kind of stand up and be mobile, move around a little bit, get the blood going during the segments.
I'll tell you, it depends on where you sit. So if you sit over where Jeremy normally sits and where I usually sit when I'm in there.
Yeah, I'm on the other side.
I think you can do that, I think.
I'm on the door side. But, I mean, I got a little walking space around here. I'm just saying. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're all right.
I get up and
move. Well, next time I want to see push-ups then.
Let's not have it. I can't. Shoulder surgery. I still am not
right.
Clear.
Good excuse.
That was close. Okay.
Good excuse.
So, listen, I wanted to talk to you about the Bills and expectations, Mr. Capaccio. And let's go with the topic this morning that I'm talking about. ESPN's FBI is out. Was going through it this morning. Bills are the number one team and the favorite to win Super Bowl 57. Are the Bills your Super Bowl favorite? If so, why?
Yeah, I think they are. They're certainly my AFC favorite right now. I look around the AFC and I think that every team really has some sort of hole where I can pluck. Like the team that I would go to first, I guess you'd say, is Kansas City. And yet I think that by not having Tyreek Hill hurts them a little bit, but I think the division has just gotten so much better. I think this is the big thing for me because Cincinnati's right there. Cincinnati's had a really nice offseason. They've made some changes. I think they're going to protect Burrow better. Not great, maybe, but better. I think that might be all they need. But the thing is, though, that's a tough division as well. I think what it seals it for me is, yes, the addition of Von Miller. The Bills have a really terrific roster. I mean, look, if anybody wants to say, oh, here comes Sal Capaccio being Homer on the radio, look, all I have to tell you is Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus, who was on with us last week, Howard, said, look, if you basically made every single quarterback the same for every team, like one guy is the same, like all-time quarterback, the Bills have the best team. Mm-hmm. He said they have the best roster. And I agree with that. I mean, this is kind of pretty much accepted by a lot of people that they're, if not the team, right there. And I agree with that. And I think Von Miller puts them over the top. But the other thing is the division. Until somebody shows me in the division that they can kind of keep up with them, I think they're going to have a great shot at, you know, the number one seed, getting a rest and then having home field advantage. And I think that matters. So to me, they are in the AFC. And then I look over in the NFC. I wonder about the Rams. I mean, they lost Von Miller, but they're a really good team. I mean, they're just solid on offense, solid on defense. I look at the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. I wonder when, if ever, it's ever going to catch up because, you know, those two teams should have pretty good paths. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers. So I think I would make the Bills the Super Bowl favorite based on everything I said. But, I mean, I think it's close right there with a few teams. I would make them the favorite in the AFC because of what I said. I think it'd be, I'd have to look a little examine more about the NFC teams as far as the odds and what I think their chances would be.
So based on that, my next the follow-up is the rest of the conference then. By the way, Sal with us. Phone lines are always open. You want to contribute on the topic? Are the Bills your Super Bowl favorite? If not, who is and why? 803-0550. If you have anything else, Bills, NFL, you'd like to bring up, by all means, give us a call. We'll hook you up with Sal. So the last, so we've established the Bills as for you, for me, Super Bowl favorite. The last 2 years in the AFC, the gold.
So you
stand,
agree?
Yes, I agree. I don't. There's okay. There is no obvious flaw in the roster. I think your point about the division is really big. They are really. Who's pushing them inside the division? The bigger issue is who you got to get out, who you got to beat to get out of the conference to get to the Super Bowl. And they have a great. Yes, go listen to the first hour on demand. So I don't want to have to regurgitate.
Sure,
but yes, I agree.
I got you.
I think they have the best roster. So the
who's
last,
the threats?
The last 2 years, we weren't having this discussion. We were talking about the guy at the top is Kansas City. They're the gold standard. How do you beat them? So if the Bills are now the guy at the top, who do you think is the main threat or top threats to the Bills?
Well, look, it's still Kansas City no matter what until proven otherwise. They do have Patrick Mahomes. They do have Andy Reid. They do have still Travis Kelce, an outstanding offensive football team and a defense that – yeah, it can be shaky at times, can also play pretty well at times, right? We'll see. I think they kind of did some things last year to get themselves a little bit better, got a little bit better pass rush as the season went on. So I think it's still Kansas City, like just at first blush. But I do think that division matters a lot, and they're going to not be necessarily 12-5 and one away from the division for a couple of games. It could by the end of the year, but I think those teams are going to beat each other up. And then I look at Cincinnati. I do think Cincinnati is a... I mean, look, they are the defending AFC champions. They went to Kansas City and they won. They do have Joe Burrow. They do have Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they have a solid defense and an offensive line that's, you know, going to be better. I don't know if I trust them as much.
Yeah.
I think that they could still, you know, have troubles protecting Burrow. I don't know if I necessarily... Now, look, he made it to a Super Bowl last year. I still don't totally... I'm not in love with their coach for this, you know, to be consistent enough to be there. I think we've seen from Sean McDermott that they've been there. They've kind of gone back. Yes, I know they haven't ultimately closed out the playoffs at the end to get to the Super Bowl. But, you know, he's done a good job of understanding how to maintain and stay on this course. There are a couple teams, I think, under the radar that I would look at here. I think the Chargers. Now, how many times have we said this, though? And the Chargers every year I'm saying this. I think we all are. But man, how can you count out Justin Herbert from what we've seen from him the last few years? And now you know, you add Khalil Mack, and you look at that pass rush they're going to have with Bosa. And they do have really, really good players on both sides of the ball. I think the Chargers are going to be a very, very tough out this year for Kansas City in the West and overall. And I think the under-the-radar team, now look, I haven't touched on Tennessee. I think they are who they are. I don't see them as a huge threat, but they've won, right? And you know, I think the Bills, they'll have a chance this year to take care of them at home. Maybe they can do that. I think the under-the-radar team might be the Baltimore Ravens. I really like I like their roster overall, getting healthy, coming back and doing what they're doing. I just have a lot of questions about how they're going to throw the ball, who they're going to get it to, where their explosive plays are going to come from outside of Lamar Jackson running the football.
Right.
But, I mean, you look at Howard, you look at the injuries they have coming back. You look at already what their roster was, some of their additions in the offseason. And John Harbaugh and the organization overall, they're just always good, right? They're good at what they do. They're smart at what they do. I think they're smart in roster building. He's a good coach. So I think the Ravens are a team that's a little bit under the radar there.
Let me get to a call because this caller wants to bring that up as well. And I think that's a good team, too. I mentioned, to me, it's the Chargers. I know what you said about Kansas City, and we'll talk more about the Chiefs. I'm with you on the Chargers. I think, considering they actually haven't, you know, won a playoff game in a while, I would still say them as the main threat. But I love your point about Baltimore. I think people are kind of forgetting about the Ravens because of everything that happened last season. On that note, we'll go to we'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Ron in Alden wants to echo, I think, Sal, what you just said. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is Baltimore doing? I have a few friends who live in Baltimore, and they're not happy. It doesn't seem like, and again, I'm not a Ravens fan, so I don't know for sure, but it doesn't seem like they're building around their quarterback. Probably a quarterback who, you know, he throws fine, he's all that. He's more, you know, obviously he's more known of a running quarterback. I don't know if that's so true anymore. But it doesn't seem like they're really building around him. It seems like they're taking away his weapons. So what weapons do Baltimore really have? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. Look at their draft. You know, their draft, they went out and they they did not sign. I mean, they did not draft anybody really to replace Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
You know, they trade away Marquise Brown to the caller's point. They got one of the best players in the draft, Kyle Hamilton. They always seem to get that really, they're just solid. They know what they're doing. Tyler Linderbaum, like maybe the best center, best offensive, interior offensive lineman in the draft. They get him. David Ojabo, okay, yeah, might take a little while. But then they kept going on, and they have all these fourth-round picks, six fourth-round picks. Here are their positions: tackle, DB, tight end, punter, tight end, cornerback. Like, they didn't draft a wide receiver at all.
No,
I think there's a question. So to the caller's point of, it seems like they're not building around their quarterback. I would say that's true that they're not building around him in the traditional way. I do think they're building around Lamar Jackson, but they're trying to accentuate his strengths of running the football and then an explosive play here or there. Hey, you don't know what's coming. And then, I don't know, I guess they're just going
to
keep throwing to tight ends all day.
It is
but
funny
I agree with
watch,
that. There's a flaw in the Ravens roster. Of course, it's the same flaw that I think we've seen even from the Patriots last year and going into this year. Where are you throwing the ball? Where are your explosive plays coming from?
I was surprised by the trade of Brown. I'm sure the quarterback in Baltimore was rather surprised by that, too, because it took away his most explosive weapon in the passing game. Mark Andrews is a very good tight end, but certainly you wouldn't call him an explosive weapon in the passing game. They sure look like an offense that is still running back and tight end centric, as opposed to, was it Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, James Prochet? You're not going to quake in your boots when you face the wide receivers of the Baltimore Ravens, but I think Lamar Jackson getting back to the point where he was, them being healthy at running back, being healthy in the secondary, getting Peters back, getting Humphrey back. You mentioned the drafting of Kyle Hamilton. I think, you know, Baltimore's teams were never really in the Harbaugh era, right? I wouldn't necessarily say they were great passing teams. Good offensive lines, good running teams, very strong defenses, and it feels like I think they're trying to get back to that identity. Not that they ever left it. But I do think people are ruling out Baltimore because of them kind of disappearing off the landscape last season. I think that was much more about COVID and injuries than anything about a drop in football level and talent on the
roster. So last year, obviously, they had a lot of injuries and different things happened. But if you go back, since 2016 up to 2020, not counting last year, do you realize the Ravens, every single one of those years, ranked in the top 10 in points scored?
So you wouldn't have guessed that. You don't think of them as an explosive
team. I'm sorry. That's on defense. See, I'm looking at the wrong one. See,
No.
But they were three times in the top 10 in points scored and led the league 1 year a few years ago in 2019 when Lamar had his great year. So it wasn't. So every year except in 1, 2, 3, 4 years straight, they were top 13 one time, top 10 all the other time. So it's still kind of the point still remains. They are better than people think. Mm-hmm. But I think it does come from the quarterback and not in a traditional sense of they have this dynamic quarterback, a lot like Josh Allen, the Bills, and how they use him. He can run. He can use his legs and things like that. Look, I actually think the Ravens and Bills are similar in this regard. I think they're building a team to try and dictate what the defense does to them and what they could do to the defense, which is, hey, we're going to put two tight ends in the field. I think the Bills are going to do this more. We're going to put two tight ends in the field. We're going to make you go big, and then we're going to have our options. The difference is, I think the Bills actually have options. They can still throw to a Stephon Diggs or a Gabriel Davis. I don't know where those options come from for the Ravens, but I do think the Ravens have a plan, which is, hey, we're going to force you into certain personnel situations on defense, and then we're going to take advantage on our side on offense on things that we can do with the guys we have.
How much do you think the Bills will be pushed in the division? Are we talking cakewalk to a division title?
No, I don't think so. That just doesn't happen in the NFL that much these days.
Well,
no, I don't care how good
you are. They've gone 11-1 in the division the last 2 years, and the one loss was in a stupid weather game.
Well, but that may be true, but when did they win the division? Not till what, week 17?
Yeah, the Denver game 2 years ago, and what, was it the New England game last year?
Right, so as much as they may be doing that, they could still lose other games, and the other teams can. So against their rivals, I mean, I don't know if I'd expect 6-0, but sure, they can go 5-1. That doesn't mean they're going to wrap it up by Thanksgiving. They haven't done that the last few years, as good as they've been in the division. There are other games they have to play. They have a tough outside-the-division schedule. So, you know, as long as if Miami can just split, or if New England can just split, they just have to hang on for a while. So, do I think it's going to be a cakewalk? No. But I'd be surprised, I guess, as I sit here right now, outside of injuries and everything, Howard, I'd be surprised if we're at week 15 or 16 not going, okay, they just have to win and have one of these teams lose in the next couple of weeks, right? And they're going to be fine. you just don't see the divisions getting wrapped up that early. So I think they, to me, you're probably looking at they're going to do something week 16, 17, 18. Let's hope they get it wrapped up by like 16 or 17. But, you know, it'll probably go late. They'll have to wait. I mean, there are 18 games, and yeah. I think the Dolphins are improved. Dolphins don't have as daunting of a schedule as the Bills, some of the crossover games they have. I think the Bills should handle their rivals fairly, not easily necessarily, but let's say 5-2 at worst. I'm sorry, 5-1 at worst, let's say. But I don't think that means they're going to win the division by December 1st.
I'm curious, Sal. I was going through some of the questions we're going to have about the Bills when we get to camp. There's no fatal flaw or obvious, like, glaring problem. But how's Saffold going to be? Is he an upgrade? You know, Dorsey taking over as OC, Trey White's injury, who's cornerback two? There are definitely some things we'll be wondering about when camp opens up. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about coaching staff changes. Because we're really, okay. this was, I actually didn't check the numbers. But I'm going to guess this is the most turnover that McDermott's had since he came here, from season two into where he is now. There were a handful of changes on offense, on defense, special teams coordinator. Is that at all one of the questions you wonder about this team, how these guys all mesh? Or do you believe one of the strengths of Sean McDermott has been the ability to find the proper position coaches and have those guys develop young players on the roster?
Both. I think it is a strength of Sean. I think it's also a question I have, mm-hmm. which is how is all this going to work? I think the biggest thing is the quarterback room. But at every turn, look, here's why I'm not as concerned necessarily about the quarterback room, but it is a question, and how is it going to work? And that is, they went out and got two, you know, veterans who I think understand the dynamic and the communication and what goes in. Case Keenum, Matt Barkley, I mean, they are in that room. They're a big part of that room. No, there's no Davis Webb anymore, and there's no Shea Tierney anymore, an assistant quarterback's coach. Mm-hmm. There's no Brian Daboll anymore. But you still have Ken Dorsey. You bring in Joe Brady, who's, I think, a question mark because he's never been in with those guys yet. But then you bring in guys like Matt Barkley, who has been with Josh Allen, of course. And you bring in Case Keenum, who has been around this league. I think everybody knows their roles. And how many times did we hear Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about, especially McDermott, that room, how important that is to have the right people. So I'm not necessarily worried about that or concerned about it. But I do think it's something to look at and see, how is that going? Now, as far as the other positions are concerned, yeah, they brought in a couple of guys here or there. They didn't have a ton of turnover necessarily in some of the staff members. For example, you're just moving guys around, right? Like Jim Salgado goes from the nickel DB to safeties coach. That's because the safeties coach, Bobby Babich, is now coaching linebackers. Mm-hmm. So even though they have a new position coach, and that's because his dad, Bob Babich Sr., had retired. So even though they have a couple of new position coaches, these guys have been working with these guys. They know. You know, I mean, I saw Bobby Babich at the Mike Hyde charity softball game. Right? And we were just kind of talking about how, yeah, he's like, you know, he's excited. You know, it's a fresh new way to look at things, new perspectives. He says, but he knows these guys have been in defensive meetings with them for the last whatever years. You know, Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds and guys like that. And that's what you're going to see. The guys they brought in, I think Aaron Cromer's the biggest one. Yep. And I would say there's a lot of reasons to say that's an upgrade from Bobby Johnson. I love Bobby Johnson. I think Bobby Johnson did a really good job in a lot of situations he had to deal with. But Aaron Cromer is considered one of the best, you know, technical offensive line coaches in the league. And as Eric always says, Eric, he's a problem solver. You know, I think that's a guy that's going to fit in pretty well in how Sean McDermott wants to operate. So, yes, Howard, I think there has to be some sort and some level of how is this all going to work. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think Sean McDermott and what he's shown and how he's brought in people and how he's onboarded people and how Brandon Bean has should get you pretty quickly to don't be worried about it until something shows you need to be worried about
it. Yeah, I would agree. I would certainly, obviously, the Bills, in almost anything, you'd probably give the Bills the benefit of the doubt these days because of the belief you'd have in McDermott and Bean and everybody else over there. All right, last thing. Yankees are 27-9, so their winning percentage is .750. What would you set at the over-under for Yankees' number of wins this season?
I mean, they can't keep this pace.
No, this is incredible. I was going to say, I didn't do the math yet. Like, has anyone gone over 700 for a winning percentage on the season?
I think I read that was the fifth time they started as well as they did after 35 games. Mm. So I don't know what it's going to be after 40 and whatever.
Yeah.
Look, and here's the other thing. I don't think the American League is all that great.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm looking around and like every time they're playing these teams, I'm like, you know, I mean, like they have opportunity here to have a really good season. And let me just look, I know, and now that your son's there, maybe I can actually give a little bit of space here to say it. But, you know, in all honesty, like, you know, Brian Cashman took a lot of hits on how he, you know, for years, how he built the team, and especially a lot of people this year, and Josh Donaldson, and what are you doing, and IKF, why are you trading Gio Urshela? Like, I think he built a really, like, a very smart team here. Like, they go long. Yeah, they go deep. They have the home run leader in Aaron Judge, and Stanton's hitting them. But they can also run the bases and play defense now, which they haven't been able to do that well the last few years. Right. And really, the key is the pitching staff coming around. So, over, under, let's see. At this point, I would say, let's say 105. Okay. 105. That would be a slowdown pace, actually.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
105 like, would be a really, really nice season.
Was it the, I'm trying to think, the most wins in, Mariners had like a 116 years, long time ago.
I just can't see that happening. Yeah. I mean, well, that would know, be
but
incredible.
If the division, we'll see. I mean, the Red Sox are bad again. The Orioles are not good. So the Rays are not as good as I thought they'd be right now. Yeah, they're not at where they have been. And it's an interesting point about the American League outside of what? Houston and the Angels.
Right.
It might just be a whole bunch of other teams and nobody really that special in the American League.
And I think that's because of the point you just brought up. I think the Rays and Blue Jays have been a little bit underwhelming, right?
Yeah.
Like what you thought they would be.
Yep.
They're not right now. They started off like, okay, here we go. This is going to be a really three-horse race. They just haven't been as good as I thought they'd be. And, boy, you hate to see the Red Sox at 14-22, don't you? You just hate to see it, folks.
Yeah, did you? You almost said that like you sounded you like it sounded like
oh,
you meant it.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I don't know.
All right, Mr.
C. Max, are we happy that the Red Sox are eight games under 500? Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's just waiting for Max to shout out, bleep the Red Sox, Dad. And that would have been made for great radio.
I know, exactly. I didn't want to. I intentionally didn't want to actually ask a question where he could say something like
How
that.
How old is he right now?
He's eight.
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 All right. So that's a really important dad question. At what point in your child's development do you teach them it's okay to say bleep fill in the blank team? Eight, I think, is too young.
Oh, that word? Yeah, for sure.
Probably. He might actually bring it up to you before you bring it up to him. But I think at what age can you allow your child to yell bleep your arch rival?
But I do know that he tells me all the time that how many times he hears that at Bills games about the arrival. So he like counts and tells me after the game. Like I'm like, okay, thanks, I appreciate that, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, there's this new guy on the roster. His name is Bleepin' So and So. I just hear him call his Bleepin' Smith. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. C. As
you
always.
Got it.
All right.
All right. Talk to you.
Okay. Sal with us on the Wester Hotline. Brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I will. Can I pat myself on the back for like 30 seconds? If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know when it comes to predictions and suggestions, I'm awful. Do the opposite. I was trying to think of Costanza Seinfeld reference. Whatever I say, go in the other direction when it comes to betting because I'm awful. I will say, though, if you listened yesterday, we were doing the MLB Dinger Tuesday thing for FanDuel. What did I say? Bet on a Yankee. It's Judge, it's Stanton, I want to say Rizzo. They have like three of the top, four, five home run hitters in Major League Baseball, and they were playing Baltimore. And I know apparently they moved the left field wall back in Camden Yards like 30 feet, and they made it 5 foot higher. So Judge would have had three home runs last night, but he hit one off the top of the wall. But what did I tell you? Bet a Yankee in Baltimore for MLB Dinger Tuesday. Did you bet Judge? You hit two home runs last night. That's it. I'm done. That might be the only thing I've gotten right. And how long have we been doing this show together? 18 years? That's probably the only thing I got right. Okay, we'll get a break. Hey, I want to get back. So if you're just joining us, first off, we're talking about the Bills, expectations, and whether you believe they are the Super Bowl favorite. ESPN's Football Power Index came out, their preseason rankings. The Bills are the number one team. And they're the Super Bowl favorite. So do you believe the Bills are the Super Bowl favorite? If so, why? If not, who is it? And why for the other team? I did want to get into their projections a little bit. After the Bills, the AFC, there's one team that I'm going to go, well done, because you heard me talk about it. There's another team that Sal brought up, and you might find them surprisingly low. We'll get to that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
There's a lot of the pieces back. They re-signed the center, Ryan Jensen. They're able to give a big contract to Chris Godwin, who's coming off a knee injury late in the year and couldn't play in the postseason. You're able to go into the draft and get a couple of guys that can probably help on the defensive line, on the offensive line, and maybe even help immediately. You got a running back out of Arizona State that might play some. There are a lot of reasons to still be excited, but the primary one is Brady and his leadership. Now, the only unknown as we sit here on May the 17th is how long does he hold up physically? We have to continue to say this. I mean, the magic runs out with your elbow and your shoulder and being able to throw the ball no matter who you are at some point. Let's see how long that lasts.
That is TJ Reeves, Bucks sideline reporter. He was on with Joe and Sal on the Extra Point Show yesterday talking about Tom Brady and the Bucks. If you're just joining us, Jeremy's out today and we are discussing, well, Bill's expectations, basically, and whether or not you believe they are the Super Bowl favorite. ESPN's FPI says they are. Number one team in their rankings and the Super Bowl favorite. Which doesn't necessarily have to be going together, because not all the rankings, if you're number two, doesn't mean you're the second best Super Bowl favorite. Anyway, the Bills, your Super Bowl favorite, if so, why? If they aren't, who is and why? 803-0550 to join us on that. Whatever else is on your mind, that's fine too. We never limit you to what we're discussing. If you have something else you want to bring up, you know, want to spend like a good, 10 minutes on why the Mets are awesome, that's fine too. Phil, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going on this fine, fine Wednesday?
Very well, thank you. By Wednesday standards, because I hate Wednesdays. Go ahead.
You guys are talking about getting your kids early on about this and the other teams.
Yep.
My daughter, she graduates high school this year, but my brother-in-law's, when she was 3 or 4, got her to say, "The Leafs suck," at every hockey game, and it was just hysterical. I loved it.
I do wonder about that.
Every time...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
What's that?
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. And like you said, every time the Sabres are playing, no matter who they play, she just say, "Let's go, Buffalo. No, Leafs suck."
Yeah, like, that's like a responsibility for a parent, right? Phil, don't you think that's part of our responsibility as a parent?
Oh, yeah. We have to teach our kids what teams matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a diehard Yankee fan. I don't like the Red Sox, but I will say this: as a baseball fan, I have to go to at least Boston one day to see a game there.
Oh, you should. Yeah, right. Yeah, Fenway's cool.
So,
I mean, I'm a Mets fan, so I'm not a fan of either the Yankees or Boston.
You have my sympathy.
Hey, how'd you get through the screening process? But Fenway, you should go. Yeah, it's funny. That's why I said thank you, Phil. I brought it up with Sal. Look, I'm not going to say this is like life and death serious. I'm going to screw around and say, I take the responsibility of a parent raising a child as a sports fan very seriously. No. But I think it's funny. I'm going to guess that plays out most of the time, right? That as you raise your son or your daughter, I'll bet they root, most of them end up rooting for the teams that you root for. They're exposed, especially if you're, here. Obviously, teams in your town. There's no Major League Baseball team here. There's no NBA team here, but we have an NFL team. We have an NHL team. So as you're raising your kids, Jeremy's already, the twins have already been to their first Sabres game. So as they're raised and they're exposed to the Bills and the Sabres, odds are they're going to be Bills and Sabres fans. But then if they get into Major League Baseball, it's a good chance it's whoever you root for, because they will end up, say, watching games with you. Or you will take son or daughter on a road trip to go see the Yankees when they're in Toronto or Cleveland. If you're a Mets fan, you'll go to Pittsburgh. You know, you'll find the city closest to you, or you'll go to that city, and you'll eventually take, I think, your child to one of these games. NBA, same thing. You love Golden State. So you'll go to Cleveland or Detroit, you know, whatever, someplace close by, Toronto. And eventually your kid will get into those teams. But it's funny. I do think, for me, I definitely handed down to Jonathan the teams that in the Simon household growing up, we did not like. Now, I wouldn't necessarily tell you my dad handed down the Yankee thing. Like, for sure, it was clear cut in my family growing up, we don't like the Yankees. But the reason why, my dad grew up he was a big Brooklyn Dodgers fan, okay? So if you were a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, a little bit in the 40s, but definitely in the 50s before they moved out west, they lost to the Yankees literally every time but once when they made the World Series. So you would have despised the Yankees if you were a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. So, you know, growing up, he worked for the Mets, so we were going to be Mets fans. But why did we not like the Yankees? Well, my mom and dad were both Brooklyn Dodger fans. The kids stand the Yankees. So, but on my own, so remember, and I want to get to Zach. I want to see, like, the teams you are not really fond of. On my own in the 70s, if you grew up in New York in the 70s, okay, and I grew up on Long Island, Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers. Well, guess what? You didn't like anybody from Boston. Not necessarily the Red Sox, but the Celtics, the Bruins. Patriots weren't really that good in the 70s. I think later in the 70s they became good, maybe mid to late 70s. But the Flyers, if you grew up a hockey fan in the 70s, here, you probably despise the Flyers. I mean, they won the Cup against the Sabres, but they beat the Bruins. They had the Broad Street Bullies. There were certain teams that the Lakers, they were dominant in the 70s. If you're a Knicks fan, you didn't like the Lakers. So there were certain teams that it didn't have to be handed down to me. But as I started getting into sports, I just tended to really despise those certain teams. And I absolutely handed that down to Jonathan. At some point, I don't know how old he was, but at some point I did give him the, you do not root for the Yankees speech. So that's for sure. And yeah, we, you know, Zach, I mean, you didn't have to have a father tell you to not like the Patriots. You said earlier in the show this morning, Brady, you're not alone. My son's the same way. Brady ruined your childhood.
100%.
If you grew up a Bills fan and you're Zach's age or Jonathan's age, he just turned 20, what year? 26. You can't stand New England, Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Patriots were my Miami Dolphins. Like, my dad is that's always right. Like, I hate the Dolphins. I get the whole Patriots hate, but that's
yeah, because your dad's in my era.
Yes.
In the 70s, if you were a football fan, you didn't like the Miami Dolphins, and odds are you might not like the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe the Steelers. But sure, New England, total sense.
Yeah, the Patriots are there, and they're going to be there post-Brady, Belichick. Like, I don't like their uniforms. They're a Boston team. Like, everything about them is just gross. With that, all Boston teams.
Well, see, that's what's changed over the years. Like, Red Sox, whatever. I rooted for them when they won their first World Series. I never really had a disdain for the Red Sox. It morphed into, they're part of that collective where you're all sick of Boston.
It's their fans.
It's everything. It's the fans. Yeah. It's the media. There's an arrogance when you win as many freaking titles as their teams have. So I didn't like the Bruins. I didn't like the Celtics. But again, that's because of the teams I grew up rooting for in New York. Eventually, what comes of this is, like, the Patriots. I rooted for them in the Super Bowl against the Rams. What the hell did I know? If I only knew how this would all turn out, I would have rooted for them to lose that day.
How it would go years later.
But I might have had money on them, too. But I rooted for the Patriots in that first Super Bowl. I rooted for the Red Sox to win that champion, the World Series, to end the drought. But Boston teams now, even if you never really, they now have moved into the can't stand anybody from Boston because their teams won so much. And their fans and the media have a certain arrogance to them. So who else?
The Yankees.
You grew up not liking the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, that one is very much passed down to me. I'm an Angels fan, but like it was Boston and New York. You can't do it. You cannot root for them. It's fine if you're not an Angels fan, but you're just not them.
Right.
The Oakland Athletics. That one's just more. I mean, they're in the Angels division.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I hate how they do business. Like, just get rid of everybody, and then they'll still surprisingly be kind of good. Not this year.
Yeah.
For like years past, I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
What are you doing? So that one was just more. I can't stand that you're still good.
Right.
The University of Oklahoma, all their sports. I'm a Texas fan, so that's all their sports.
Oh, that's funny. I did not realize you were a Texas fan. Boy, Texas-Oklahoma football games are...
Wow. I have family from Texas. I actually just saw them this weekend for a wedding.
Yeah.
So, hate Oklahoma. That's nice. And the Miami Dolphins. Like, I'm getting there now.
Are you?
I can't stand their fans. Tua is a six-foot-tall, below-average-arm quarterback, and every day I have to see Tua making a throw at practice. I can't do it anymore, Howard.
That's funny, because I think, again, most fans of your age... will not get the Miami thing. You had to live through the 70s.
Yeah, they were just as
bad
Shula as
Shula and all those guys. You had to live through that, whether you're a Bills fan, Jets fan, Patriots, or maybe, well, the Colts were good in the 70s. You had to live through that Shula era to understand why people would not, why Miami is always the team that people of my age group love to hate.
I've been in this position, I think, for a few months now, and I've heard callers now talk about, I think, what was it, like 26-game losing streak the Bills?
20 straight over an entire decade.
Oh, my gosh, that's horrible. But, yeah. I mean, I've heard about that, and I'm like, oh, no, that would never go away. I can completely understand people never getting over that.
And we'll see. You know what? Maybe the Patriots are now in a downslide, whatever. Maybe they're going to drop back a little bit. And it's funny, like, as you get older, if you have a kid, New England might not be relevant in the National Football League. And you'd have to, listen there, little Zach Jr. Boy, we really hate the fill-in-the-blank team. Used to be the Patriots. What, Dad? New England? They're not good. Well, in my era, like, you're just going to go through the same thing we all do. There's a generationally it determines who you root against. And that can change over time. So, but it's funny, to the caller's point, yes. I tried to... As a parent, I definitely exposed Jonathan to the teams I like, and I definitely gave him, it was a short list. It's not like I said I gave him a list of 25 teams. There was a really short list that at some point I basically said, okay, look, if you want to live in this house, you cannot root for these teams. Yankees, Flyers, Islanders, Patriots. That might be... Duke. I mean, that might be Duke, but that's on everybody's list, I think, if you're not a Duke fan.
It is a surprisingly short list of like teams like, you can't root for.
Yes. I don't want to be like that. You can't like anybody. No. But I'm going to tell you, there's less than five. And if you pull for any of them, I'm throwing you out of the house and you'll have to find a new family to live with.
So yeah, the relationship's severed. It's never really going to be
fixed. You're out of the will. I'm not paying for your college. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Paul Hamilton coming up at 8 WGR.
Don Alvarez.
That ball drilled to left field. Back goes Verdugo. He's going to watch this one go. Yordan Alvarez.
To the plate. And Tucker lifts this one pretty deep to right. Racing back Bradley on the warning track at the wall. Looking up. See you later.
45 minutes from where he grew up in Rhode Island.
This ball's drilled to left field all the way back and gone. Jeremy Peña, welcome back to Fenway.
In the inning.
Brantley drives one high and deep to right field. Has he done it? Yes. Three-run bomb.
Reached on an error.
Yuli Gurriel drives one deep to left field. Number five on the inning. Incredible.
Yes, it is. So those are five home runs from the Red Sox, or excuse me, from the Astros last night. They beat the Red Sox 13-4. The five home runs. So we're going to go stat of the day here. Stat of the day brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Speaking of Yankee fans who might be happy in the misery of the Boston Red Sox, there were five home runs last night in the same inning. The home runs you just heard, the play-by-play calls, all happened in the top of the second. And the five home runs all came off the same pitcher. Nathan Eovaldi, starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, who you might not surprisingly find did not make it out of the second inning, became the third pitcher in Major League history to allow five home runs in one inning. Now, Major League Baseball goes back 1870s, I believe. American League is like 1900. I believe the NL goes back into the 1870s. So we're talking 150 years. Just the third pitcher in Major League Baseball history to give up five home runs in one inning. And we'll tell you why in a moment. Zach and I will talk about this in a second. But for the Astros, first time ever in franchise history, and they've been around since the mid-60s, that they had five home runs in the same inning. For the Red Sox, who've been around for like 100-something years, first time they ever gave up five home runs in the same inning. Which would lead to this question. Why the heck did they leave Eovaldi in? Like, Zach and I were talking about this in the break. So I get it. It's the second inning. You don't want to burn an arm that early. You don't want to go to your bullpen. Now you got to use a whole bunch of relievers because it's only the second inning. You're thinking, okay, we still got a lot of time to get these runs back. It's only the top of the second. But they left the guy in for five home runs. Like, I could see a guy struggling. You might leave him. The Mets, I forget, might have been Tyler McGill's last start. I think he gave up five runs in the first inning. They didn't pull him. But it's home runs. Like, at some point, I would feel, and it's at home, too, so he's getting booed mercilessly by the fans at Fenway. At some point, they left Eovaldi in for nine runs, six earned, and five home runs. I think after home run number three, if not three, for sure four, I would just pull the guy because I'd feel so bad for him because he's just giving up gopher balls.
There's not a chance I'm keeping him in for five. There's not. No, like, I'd even be a coward of like, oh, I can't deal with this. You need to come out. Like, not even for you,
for me. That's it, too. And is at some point, is Eovaldi angry? I mean, maybe he is. And maybe there's the competitor in him that says, let me work my way through this. I don't want to go out on an inning like this. Let me try and get through this inning. Because they pulled him with two outs in the inning. But, I mean, is he standing on the mound and pitch, boom, looking over shoulder. Pitch, boom, looking over shoulder. The fans are booing probably. And he's like, Skip, what are you doing to me? Like, three home runs. After the fourth, does he look at the dugout? I mean, five home runs. I would just feel bad for my starting pitcher. I think you're subjecting him to harassment by the fans. And at some point, he might be mad, like going, I just don't have it tonight. I mean, I'm just giving up home run after home run. Please come out here and save me from this. That's by the way, which is why only three pitchers in Major League Baseball history have given up five home runs in an inning, because most of them probably don't survive more than, say, three. Usually your manager would pull you by that point. So anyway, that's our stat of the day. Sorry, Nathan, but he's had a lot of problems with home runs this season. Oh, bonus stat of the day. Hang on, I wanted to mention this too. Last year, Nathan Eovaldi, 15 home runs allowed in 32 starts last season. He's already given up 14 this season. He's at basically last season's total, and we're not at Memorial Day yet. That's our stat of the day. Yankee fans, you're welcome. 803-0550 to join us. If you're just joining us, Jeremy's out today. We are talking about Bills expectations. ESPN's Football Power Index says the Bills are the best team in football, and they've made them the Super Bowl favorite. So, are the Bills your Super Bowl favorite? If so, why? If they aren't, who is? And why would that team be your Super Bowl favorite? We will talk a little bit of hockey when we get back. Amherst, Sabres, NHL playoffs. Mr. Paul Hamilton on the way on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.